From time to time, people describe me as being scholarly, sometimes with a kind of inference as though it's like having a disability or an illness. How I wish people knew about my secondary school record of lack of intellectual achievement. I arrived at secondary school wanting to be a different kind of sky pilot, but after my deficits in maths, physics and chemistry became apparent, I let the dream die of flying jets for the Air Force. But no matter, the school I went to was strong in languages. We all had to attend Latin in the first years of being there, and French and German beckoned for those who were no good at the sciences. Here too, I was an amazing failure. Indeed, I have a confession to make. The only time I was ever caned at school was for low marks in a Latin test, which says a lot about the school and about me. Nor did it stop there. In the time when I was ordained into the Church of England, it was compulsory to have at least a pass mark in New Testament Greek, but I had to be excused that in order for the bishop to lay hands on me. Here I have to announce a note of real regret. I wish I could travel back in a time machine, confront my 13-year-old self, shake him vigorously by the lapels and say, "I don't care if you think you're no good at languages or you're not interested in them. Buckle down and make this the major learning project of your teenage years." Because later on, when you get very interested in theology, the truth is you can't get beyond a certain point in systematic theology unless you've got a working knowledge of theological German. And by the way, it would be incredibly helpful also to be fluent in classical Greek as well as having Latin under your belt. But that didn't happen either. So that's why I'm particularly interested in that one of the details in this morning's reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Because the truth is that the speaking in tongues that goes on in that remarkable Acts reading isn't a justification for hallelujah, hand me a snake style of public worship of those churches that practice what I call ecstasy rituals. It is instead a simultaneous translation service. No need to learn all those languages at school. The Holy Spirit's enabling the disciples or apostles, as they now are, to speak in the languages of each of the people who are assembled outside the upper room. And you know, with Luke, it's always worth noting the details. That detailed list of all the nations under heaven from which the Jews living in the dispersion who are now assembled in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, a kind of glorified harvest festival, where they've come from. Because it's saying that each of them hears in their own language the first great missionary sermon. And the point of this detail is that the power of the Spirit is moving into the future, moving across nations, moving into other people's lives in many different places, shaping events, changing lives, making a difference, and meaning that the gospel and the power of all that Jesus was and said and did is now moving decisively into that future. There's a kind of parallel and rather strange detail at the first descent of the Spirit, which occurred when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan and the dove appeared and the words of approval from his loving heavenly Father came. Immediately after the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, before he goes into the wilderness, there's a long genealogy of Jesus stretching back to the time of Adam. Is this family history gone mad? Not at all. What it's saying is that the power of the Spirit is flowing backwards into the story of Jesus, a story rooted deep in the pedigree of his people, and here too it's reinterpreting the story, fulfilling the promises that were made there, and reshaping everything that occurred then. The story of the past is now being worked on by the power of the Spirit to make it something new and rather differently wonderful. Remember, I've said in the past that the Old Testament is essential to understand Jesus because it positions him, frames him, and gives him the background schema. But that past, too, needs the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's my message to you this morning, that Pentecost and the descent of the Holy Spirit is about a God who moves backwards and forwards in his grace. Backwards and forwards. Backwards into our lives, potentially there to reinterpret the past of our lives, to get to work on the people and the places and the relationships that need healing, strengthening, sorting out, to recast our story in the bigger frame of the life of Christ and all his wonderful promises to us. But also, he's the God who works in the future, who encourages us to go forward into the future with the wind of the Spirit in our sails, unaffected by any sense of dread or anxiety or de-energized passivity. Because what Pentecost means, the descent of the Spirit, is that the lives of the disciples as they became the apostles were kind of changed from within so that they could become for others what Jesus had been for them in his earthly life. And there's a wonderful phrase I read about this past week by Michael Gorman, who says of Paul, who really understood about this work of the Spirit, that it's a matter of believing in the gospel, then becoming the gospel, then furthering the gospel. Believing in the gospel, becoming the gospel, and then furthering the gospel. We are kind of remade from within. So it's not just a matter of saying, credo, I believe. But now I become slowly a microcosm of the kingdom, thus attractive, many by my way of life. And then I'm energetically interested in furthering the gospel. To put it in the striking phrase of Bishop Samuel Wilberforce of Oxford, Christianity is a matter of admit, submit, commit, and transmit. Admit the truth of the gospel, submit to it, commit yourself to it completely, and then transmit it further on. But for now, I'm happy with Michael Gorman's phrase, to believe in the gospel, to become the gospel, and to further the gospel. And this is that which the Holy Spirit does as he works backwards and forwards in our lives. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.